T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. We are live on location, Highway 24 in beautiful Anderson, South Carolina, at Ingles Markets, your tailgating headquarters. And it is fantastic to be here with you. Man, get your boneless wing and tender trays here. Get your cheese trays here. Get your chicken wing combo trays here. Get your cheese and fruit trays, your sandwich and sub trays, your shrimp party trays. Stock up on your Beacon Tea here and get your Rise Guys P1 Pilsner, Fat Boys Prowlin' Growlin' Golden Ale, and Matt Man's Rootin' Tootin' Rooster Red Ale all right here at Ingles Markets, man. This is incredible. Lance Burns is taking Kentucky to upset Tennessee for a free 6 points in his contest this week. He says it's free. Texter says, hell yes, you revel in your rivals' losses, man. This game of college football is cyclical. You better believe they will do the same for us. Let's see here. We need to host an exhibition game, a Texter says, after the season against Coastal, and use it to use it to sell tickets with the proceeds going to buy out Muschamp's contract. I'll tell you, man, you know what they say, Lonzo, necessity is the mother of invention. These Gamecock fans are now really thinking outside the box in terms of ways to generate revenue to buy out.
Unless you're charging Muschamp like $500 a ticket, you won't even be scratching the surface with that game. Sorry.
Can I say something here? I think the biggest fallacy that people don't get and that people don't understand is this notion that a school like South Carolina can't afford a buyout on Will Muschamp. That is the biggest joke. That is the biggest fallacy around. You've got to be kidding me, okay? Will it hurt him? Yeah. But guess what hurts him worse? COVID. And not being able to have fans in attendance. Clemson's already said they're going to lose $40 million this year. And they're still going to be in existence. And they're still going to be okay. South Carolina is going to lose a similar amount this year. But so they can – I mean, the proof that this is all a hoax and a lie about not being able to buy out a coach is that South Carolina football will exist next season. Because they will lose more than $15 million from COVID. The buyout for Will Muschamp is 14.2. That's the buyout. If you're a Gamecock fan, don't let anybody tell you they can't afford. They can't afford it. You know, it's amazing what people can get away with when you can't see their books, right? Because the Gamecocks can have you believe anything they want. But let me tell you, they're getting $52 million a year from the SEC network. Okay, you have at least. You have a ton of millionaire boosters. You have a ton of millionaire alumni. Believe you me when I tell you that $14.2 million is not the problem. The problem is Muschamp is Ray Tanner's boy. And so he's got 9 lives because Ray Tanner believes that his future is tied to Muschamp's. And because it's just been really bad luck, Lonzo. It's been really bad luck and really bad timing for Gamecocks fans. You know, because right when Ray Tanner's in trouble, they get a new president, Robert Caslin. Robert Caslin says, okay, I'm going to take a couple years. I'm going to survey the landscape here. And so Ray Tanner has a couple more years, which means Muschamp has a couple more years, and everybody's got a couple more years. And then this year, in the prove-it year, Muschamp has the opt-out clause of COVID. You know, so it's just, it's the most unfortunate thing in the world for Gamecock fans. But never let anybody tell you okay, that an SEC team, okay, think about this for a minute, an SEC team with SEC dollars getting $52 million a year before ticket revenue, before merchandise revenue, before any of that stuff, okay? Before any of that stuff. Don't let anybody tell you that the Gamecocks can't afford $14 million to get rid of Will Muschamp. Necessity is the mother of invention. Believe you me, they'll figure out a way to get rid of Muschamp when the time is right, if they're going to move on from him. Just don't buy that stuff, man. Just don't buy that crap anymore. It doesn't make any sense. Let's give you an update on the baseball action right now. We have, let's see here, Rays and Astros. They're tied at one. They're tied at one in the bottom of the third inning. It is just hard to scratch runs against that scrappy Rays outfit, man. It really, really is. And we've got Dodgers and Braves coming your way at 8:08 tonight in a game that can be heard where, Alonzo?
Right here on ESPN Upstate starting at 7:30.
Right here on ESPN Upstate. Also want to let you know about a brand new blog we have on the front page of ESPNUpstate.com. Tell us about that, Alonzo.
Well, apparently someone's saying it's not on the front page. It's probably because I posted it at 1 o'clock and it's like 6 o'clock. It's a blog about wrestling. So if you don't like wrestling, don't read it. If you do, it's about the end of the new day, and you know what I'm talking about.
Is it on the Twitter, Alonzo? Is it on ESPN Upstate's Twitter page?
Dude, what are you doing? I did everything that I was supposed to do that I'm aware of. Why are you doing this on the air?
Alonzo, I'm just asking you if it's on there so people on social media can look for it.
Well, okay? Just go to...
You understand? What do you mean, why am I doing this on the air?
I don't
we got a blog for people to check out. We got a blog for people to check out on Twitter, man, on Facebook. This is called promotion. Guys, if you're on Twitter, if you're on Facebook, go check out Lonzo's blog on the front page of ESPN Upstate on Twitter, on ESPN Upstate on Facebook. And you will also find on the front page of Twitter and on the front page of Facebook, if you scroll down a little bit, blogs from Diesel, blogs from Rob Brown, and blogs from yours truly here earlier in the week. 1-844-477-3776, 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number to join us on the show. Text line is there for you at 71307. Start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. Twitter is there for you as well, at ESPN Upstate, Lonzo on word, at Mark Ryan on air. And finally, email Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. All of the different ways you can get in touch with us here on the show. Panda is a little late with his pick here, Alonzo. Should we accept it or not?
Show's not over, is it?
It's not over. He is taking, Louisiana Tech. The leader in our pick standings here is taking Louisiana Tech over Marshall, plus 13.5. These guys, man, these guys that kill it in this competition, they take all of these group of five games that people don't know a lot about. And that's probably where you can get the best lines if you're honest, right? I mean, that's if you really know your stuff in the group of five, that's probably where you can do the best, where you can make a killing. That really, really is. All right. I want to get to this. Let's see. Texter says... Poor Lonzo. I don't even want to read the last text here. Let's see here. Okay, Kentucky over Tennessee for an upset pick as well. And look, folks, as we look at this Clemson Georgia Tech game this weekend, do you guys or do you not subscribe to do you or do you not subscribe to the fact that Georgia Tech could very well be the bugaboo game for Clemson this year? You know, I'm looking at this outside looking in, and Georgia Tech is a much improved team this year. They are just much improved in every single facet, and they're really ahead of schedule under Jeff Collins. I'm saying today that I think Georgia Tech is the best value stock of any team in the ACC. Look down the ACC head to toe. Okay, and tell me what's a better value stock, buy low, sell high than Georgia Tech is giving you right now. You've got Jeff Collins. You've got a coach who is really doing an incredible job at selling Atlanta, right? And you know, you've got nobody in the local or national media that thinks the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets have a snowball's chance in hell in this game. ESPN's FPI says that Clemson has a 95.5% chance to win. Georgia Tech has a 4.5% chance to win. I hear Jim Carrey in my ear saying, "So you think there's a chance? So you're saying there's a chance?" Look, you know if you're a Clemson fan, you know there's going to be one bugaboo game a year. It's not going to be at home versus Syracuse. It's not going to be at home versus Boston College. You're going to be up for Notre Dame. So the candidates are at Georgia Tech, at Florida State, Pittsburgh, and Virginia Tech. And you know, basically, if you look at the history of the Clemson Tigers, that one of these games is going to surprise you. The other thing we were talking about, and kind of one of the big quotes from the show today that I want to share with you, Josh Pate joined us earlier in the show today. Josh Pate joined us earlier in the show, and Josh Pate really had something interesting to say about South Carolina and Auburn. I want you to listen to this prediction that Josh Pate made right here on the show.
Well, I don't think the matchup's all that great for Auburn. I think South Carolina's a pretty good third down team right now. Probably a lot better than the final scores would lead you to believe they are. And Auburn has not done a good job whatsoever of controlling any game they've been in. Whether they won it against Kentucky, it was a very, very sort of hodgepodge effort. It was a turnover fest that they benefited from. Last week, we know what happened with Arkansas. They got skull-drug against Georgia. They have not shown the ability to control a game. And they also, man, that was a grinder of a game they played last week, whereas South Carolina cruised. And I really feel, I'm not a big believer in momentum, but listen, if it does exist, hopefully Carolina can carry some of it over week to week. I actually think they match up pretty well with Auburn here. And I do also think that defense is down a notch for Auburn, where Colin Hill in this offense, I think, could actually, and I'm going to say it softly, make some plays for the Carolina offense. And if that happens, I think it will, I think I'm going to get the upset win.
Did you hear that? Josh Pate, ladies and gentlemen, is picking the Gamecocks to upset Auburn. What do you guys think? I mean, is that a good bet? Is this a pipe dream? You know, Gamecock fans have been largely quiet about this, man. They've really been largely quiet. I don't know if as a Gamecock fan, you guys have just been beaten into submission. I don't know what the deal is, but look, a lot of people are thinking you have a major chance in a very, very big game of the week. A lot of people do, and that's exciting, man. That is very exciting. You want to hear more where that came from? Well, I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to get more. I asked Josh Pate what the effect is of no Nick Saban on the sideline of Alabama versus Georgia, among many other things, and here Josh Pate and Lonzo get a laugh at my expense. That all is coming your way next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. We are live on location on Highway 24 in Anderson, South Carolina. Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. We are live on location at Ingles Markets in Anderson, South Carolina, rolling on with the most amazing food spread you have ever seen. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got your 100 wings out here. And look, you come out, you say hello, we'll let you partake. You can have whatever you like here. We've got the veggie tray. We've got the sub sandwiches. We've got the pinwheel sandwiches. We've got a pecan pie. We've got a pizza, 100 wings, ranch, chips, guacamole, salsa, you name it. It's all right here. Rolling on. Hang out with us until 7 p.m. this afternoon. Always amazed, Lonzo, always amazed. In the first hour, already three different people. Even though we are, Lonzo, 52 minutes away from the studio, okay? 52 minutes away from the studio. Already three different people come by, have said hello in the first hour of the show. Fantastic. every single week, blown away by the response here in the Upstate. All right, joining us as he does each and every week, a rising star in the sports media business. He is the host of the Late Kick Show on YouTube and the Late Kick Podcast. Josh Pate joins us here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. Sub sandwiches, Josh, pinwheel sandwiches, chicken wings, pizza, pecan pie, veggie tray. What's the first thing you're grabbing first?
Well, you said you had a pecan pie. I'm just interested, did they also provide pecan pies?
Yeah, I was going to ask that question, too, because, yeah.
Listen,
I don't want a pecan pie. That sounds nasty. A pecan pie sounds awesome, though.
Josh doesn't even know this, but he says this each and every week, and he doesn't even know this, Lonzo. He's already busted on me for something I was going to bust him on. It's like, Josh, you're stealing from my playbook. Josh, do you know that you say one word differently than I've ever heard it pronounced before? And it's I don't know if this is a Southern thing. Like I don't have an accent because I've lived in Colorado, Texas, Florida, Atlanta, South Carolina. People tell me I don't have an accent. So anyway, Josh, the way you say because, I've never heard it said that way before. Because. I've never heard
that in my life. Hold on. What word is this? Could you spell it out for me, please?
Listen, this is B-E-C-O-W-S, because. Okay? Alabama is going to beat Georgia because. Because they have better players.
If the point that follows it is good, then the sentence is good. And that's all I have to say about that.
Lonzo, in your year and a half of listening to me here, is there a word that I do like that? Is there a word that I just, the way I say it just sounds fun?
There are multiple words, and I have brought them to your attention, but the one that bothers me probably the most is the one that has to do with fire. There was a movie that had towering in front of it. There was a song, had disco in front of it.
Yes.
What's a big fire?
Yes. It's an inferno.
Oh, no.
It's an inferno.
Thank you, Josh. Thank you.
Oh, no.
Have you seen
Have you seen the Elmo gif with the inferno or the inferno, whatever we're saying in the background? Have you seen that gif?
Yeah, that describes us today. Absolutely.
It is the inferno gif because, Josh, it is the best gif on the internet. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. Look at us, man. We're doing a whole show on Seinfeld right now, man. This whole show's on Seinfeld. Absolutely talking about nothing and having a great time. Josh Pate joining us here on the show. All right, Josh, we just made our upset picks of the week. Josh, you cracked me up earlier today, man. You told me this contest is rigged. Why would you do that to me, Josh?
It's like I was watching WrestleMania 17 and I bet on The Rock, and then I saw Vince McMahon come down and beat him to death with a steel chair and Steve Austin gets the win. That was basically the way Auburn, Arkansas ended last week. Very reminiscent of WrestleMania 17. The only difference is, we know that was supposed to happen at WrestleMania 17, but last week my underdog pick was Arkansas, and they got robbed. And I don't mean robbed as in, oh, the refs missed a holding call in the third quarter. I mean Sam Pittman had a win in his hands, and the SEC league office walked over and said, we'll take that. But the problem is they took it out of my hands as well, because I was really, really looking forward to this call, not because of the pecan pie, but because I was going to have a double-digit underdog straight-up winner. And instead what I have is just a salty attitude.
Josh Pate has 7 points, which puts him in 7th place in our upset pick challenge. If you would like to get your upset pick in, just text it in, 71307. Start your text with the word ESPN and away you go. If you have a question you'd like to ask Josh in this interview, text us at 71307. There you go. Okay. Let's see here, Josh. As we look forward to this week, and I agree with you, you got hosed last week. I got my 6.5-point upset. I took BC over Pitt. A missed extra point saved me. I thought I lost it with a made 58-yard field goal. These guys sometimes with the kicking legs forget they're in college and not supposed to be able to do that, Josh. Where are you going this week?
I don't know how you sleep at night. I don't know how you live yourself, Mark. But let me tell you something. This week, I'm going to play it smart. I have to get on the board. I have to have points. And so I'm going right in your backyard to a place where very few people have confidence, but I'm going to take that South Carolina +3.5. I actually think they're going to beat Auburn outright.
Wow! Wow! You do? Why?
Well, I don't think the matchup's all that great for Auburn. I think South Carolina's pretty good third down team right now. Probably a lot better than the final scores would lead you to believe they are. And Auburn has not done a good job whatsoever of controlling any game they've been in, whether they won it against Kentucky. It was a very, very sort of hodgepodge effort. It was a turnover fest that they benefited from. Last week, we know what happened with Arkansas. They got skull drug against Georgia. They have not shown the ability to control a game. And they also, man, that was a grinder of a game they played last week, whereas South Carolina cruised. And I really feel, I'm not a big believer in momentum, but listen, if it does exist, hopefully Carolina can carry some of it over week to week. I actually think they match up pretty well with Auburn here. And I do also think that defense is down a notch for Auburn, where Colin Hill in this offense, I think, could actually, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to say it softly, make some plays for the Carolina offense. And if that happens, I think it will, I think I'm going to get the upset win.
Wow. Josh Pate going with the Gamecocks over Auburn. How does that make you feel, South Carolina fans? We've been kind of surprised at the narrow nature of that line the entire week, and now Josh Pate joins the show and tells us you shouldn't be. Josh, I thoroughly enjoyed your breakdown of Alabama and Georgia this week. I disagree with you. Georgia is my upset pick of the week. And I'm curious, what kind of impact will no Nick Saban on the sidelines have on this game?
You know what I think the biggest impact is? I was talking to someone in their program earlier this week, and I was asking about the defensive performance against Ole Miss, and it got really technical, and I'm not qualified to explain that, so I'm not going to try to, but they don't believe it's nearly as big a five-alarm fire defensively as, you know, maybe a typical fan base
or
up there.
Or an inferno.
They do.
An inferno,
yeah,
right?
it's a total inferno, right? It's a defensive yes. Inferno. They just think it's a little brush fire, and they can take care of it, or a browse fire, and they can take care of it. But here's what they did tell me. What they did tell me was, we don't have necessarily that presence on the defensive coaching staff of folks that are willing to jump down your throat. Now, what that means game to game, I don't know. But Nick Saban does possess that. And so what I wonder is, let's say Georgia goes in there, and let's say physically they have the advantage early on and they stagger Bama early on. Bama's on their heels. I really wonder what the dynamic just on that sideline is like. I wonder what the body language is like from those players. It's obvious, Mark, you can't quantify that. I can't say that's worth 2.5, 5.5 points. But that, to me, is where the biggest impact potentially could come. Outside of that, you got half a dozen guys on that staff with head coaching experience. So it's not like someone's going to be in a situation they've never been in before. It's just that little intangible that I think even just over a one-game scenario in a game this big could have an impact.
More likely to be the victim of the letdown game, Tennessee against Kentucky or Texas A&M against Mississippi State?
That's a good question. I think the answer is Texas A&M, although Tennessee, if you were to ask me in preseason, if we were to just lay the helmet grid schedule out, I think the answer would have been Tennessee. Then you're coming off Georgia, you got Alabama on deck, so it's that whole letdown look-ahead deal. With Texas A&M, the reason I didn't go with them, the reason I am going with them, is even though I don't think either one of them is going to lose, is what I'm trying to tell you. The reason I'd go with A&M is because, yes, we can think back to week one still. It's not that long ago. And we can think about what caused Mississippi State to be able to move up and down the field. And that was a very vulnerable LSU secondary. Now, the difference between that matchup and this matchup is, number one, everyone's seen it, so everyone's cognizant of it. And number two, Texas A&M can do something LSU can't do, and that's pressure the quarterback. And so the film is out on that. Like, Mike Elko knows what he's doing over there defensively. And it also, listen, they may not have the greatest safety combo in the world, but they got one that's a little bit more talented maybe than what, let's say, Kentucky's marching out there or Arkansas's marching out there. And those two completely and totally shut down Mike Leach. I remember when it may have been on your show, Mark, after that LSU game when we were talking about what we should expect moving forward. Is this just the new normal for Mississippi State? I never believed it was. I totally believed that there were going to be several crowbars thrown in those bicycle spokes to where it didn't slow down, it just stopped. That's how Mike Leach offenses are. They either roll or they stop totally. Dead in their tracks, you fly over the handlebars, you skin your face up. So that's happened 2 weeks in a row. I think it'll happen again this week. So I like both of those teams to win. If Kentucky could throw the ball better, I think there'd be more of a risk there. But I really think I think Tennessee can do to Kentucky what Georgia just did to Tennessee last week.
Very interesting. Interesting stuff. Josh, your general reaction – to the mess at the University of Florida, my alma mater this week, from Dan Mullen being frustrated at Texas A&M, apparently not following the rules, to apparently no consequences existing in the SEC for not following the rules, to Mullen saying, I want 90,000 fans in the swamp, to 20-plus Gator players now testing positive for COVID. How have you digested the last 6 days in Gainesville?
Well, I knew when I heard Mullen say that, number one, it struck me as excuse-making, but I also heard it out of context. But either way, it's probably not a good look for your head coach. We can all admit that. Having said that, I also knew, oh, boy, I mean, like, it's very likely Florida's going to have a hiccup at some point this year. As it turns out, it wasn't a hiccup. It was a number of hiccups. But I knew as soon as he put that chum in the water, they're all coming for you. And you let them come for you. It's your fault. And so as soon as there's a hiccup, whether it be this week or 5 weeks down the road, people are going to say, hey, man, you're the one who wanted 90,000 in here. So where do we go from here? Like, I care about the football. Like, when we get back on the field, that's what I care about more. And now they didn't move, Mark, they didn't move that game to later in the year. They moved it to December 12th. That's the drop-dead date. That's that whole reservoir week, as I like to call it. So it's okay as long as they can get back on the field against Missouri. If they can't, and if you start having multiple games that have to be made up, I'm not sure what the protocol is going to be there. And I was talking to someone earlier today, and certainly no decisions have been made, and they don't want to even broach this in the league office at the SEC. But right now, on all those league schedules, it is written in stone, December 19th, SEC championship game. Well, you think it's written in stone, but that's just because they hope they don't have to change it. What if we do have to change that, though? What if we have to move that SEC championship date back? What if the SEC is not the only conference that ends up having to do that? Then you start asking yourself, well, are those dates written in stone? And if those aren't, is the semifinal date, is that written in stone? Is the college football national championship date written in stone? So there could be a lot of deck chairs still to rearrange, hopefully not on the Titanic, but hopefully we don't come to that.
I'll tell you, Josh, we have a South Carolina high school league here for the high school sports, and I don't think they do a very good job, just putting it candidly. They're having a rule this year, Josh, where if you have a positive COVID test the week of a playoff game, your team forfeits the playoff game, okay? And I'm just thinking about the ramifications of this and how it's going to – you know, what are the branches that are going to come from this? And you're going to have nobody getting tested. You're going to, you know, and it's just the dumbest thing ever. So with this as the backdrop and with that bad taste in my mouth this week and with seeing, you know, the cases in the NFL and the cases now in college football, are you getting a little bit concerned, Josh, that, you know, we might be 3 or 4 weeks away from fold-up shop?
I haven't reached that level of concern, no. What I think this will serve as, I think it'll serve as a little bit of a grabbing of the shoulders and shaking of the head kind of moment. Because I remember 2 weeks ago or last week, it's been fairly recently, we had no hiccups, not even a speed bump so far. And yet Greg Sankey in the league office there in the SEC in Birmingham came out and he issued a pretty forcefully worded memo. And it kind of made people turn their heads a little sideways and say, well, what are they so upset for? We haven't even had any problems. But what he was seeing was he was seeing their protocols that had been in place working. And because they were working, he was fearful that some people are going to slack off on this stuff. And then we're going to have not one issue, but like five issues simultaneously. And it's going to make it look like, you know, the Elmo gift, the Inferno gift. And so that's kind of what's happening right now. But to me, it could be a whole lot worse. Like, Mark, we haven't heard a single thing about a serious case with any players, hospitalizations. There is none of that. You have cases, and so that's what we have right now. But what they want to do, I think, is take this, grab you by the shoulders, just kind of shake you and look you in the eye and say, you see what I'm talking about? And so hopefully this kind of recalibrates everyone's mindset to, it sucks. Don't like doing it. Just got to do it until the end of the year. And that's where I hope we are 2 or 3 weeks from now, where we're looking back on this saying, hey, we actually came out of that okay. I think we're going to be all right here.
Quick thought from you on Clemson, Georgia Tech, Josh. I think Georgia Tech is the best value stock in the ACC. Buy low, sell high principle. Love what Jeff Collins is doing. Not many people realize the kind of classes, top 25, that he's bringing to the Georgia Institute of Technology. Clemson has one bugaboo game every single year, and it's never a game you expect. I think it could be this game. And if it's not, I still think Georgia Tech is the best value stock in the ACC. How do you size this one up?
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree. Now, I don't have any strong lean on this particular week's game. I think our numbers have a slight lean to Georgia Tech, so I would agree with you there. But in terms of the future, I started saying that last year when he came there, and I started getting feedback from the high school coaches in Georgia about how radically different things felt at Georgia Tech. I bought wholeheartedly as much stock in Georgia Tech as I could. And listen, here's the thing, Mark. Everyone thinks they have Georgia Tech figured out. Everyone wants to sound smarter than the rest of the room, and it's just the go-to. Everyone says, oh, you can't win there because of academics. Well, BS, you can't win there because of academics. Let me tell you what you can do. You don't have to sign 100 guys per class. You sign 25 of them. What you do is you harness the academic prestige into a weapon that you use on the recruiting trail, and you harness all those towers downtown where the average Georgia Tech grad, I'm not misspeaking here, is a seven-figure-per-year earner. And you find kids who are sharp enough to get it done in the classroom. Because believe it or not, I know this is a foreign concept to people. There are some kids who get it done in the classroom and on the field. And what you do is you make Georgia Tech the hub. You sell Atlanta. You market Atlanta. They've done that brilliantly. They plaster 404 all over the place like Paul Johnson never did, like the previous staff never did. They are a sleeping giant in college football. Not to contend, not to go 8-4. In the future, and it may be 2 or 3 years from now, in the future, they're going to be legitimate contenders to win the Atlantic Coast Conference.
How about Stanford East as a marketing ploy?
I think that's apropos, but I think they have an even greater advantage because of the pool that they get to recruit from.
Yeah, you're right. Stanford might be doing them a disservice. He's Josh Pate, folks. If you haven't checked out his show, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are we over 30,000 subscribers now on YouTube, Josh? The Late Kick podcast as well. I guarantee you one thing. You watch this show, you watch the podcast, you're smarter every time. Be the smartest person at your office water cooler. Watch the Late Kick show with Josh Pate. Josh, what's coming up tonight?
Well, we got a lot more thoughts on Georgia and Alabama, obviously, because a lot's changed since we did our 30-minute preview, which is obnoxious, but we did a 30-minute preview the other night, and so we're going to talk about that. I'm going to update the mood tracker. That's back for another night. Got some very interesting routes we're going to go there, and we're also going to break down a number of other games. A lot of these SEC games we talked about here, we're going to break them down more thoroughly, and we'll have our best bets in hopes that the games that we are betting don't get canceled.
Always appreciate it, buddy. You be good. Take care.
All right, thanks, Mark.
All right, a texter wants to know, how do we submit upset picks? Right here, sir. Right here. You can just text them right to us at 71307. Start your text with the word ESPN, and away you go. Time for either or, which starts right now. All right, Lonzo, would you rather have to have the same phone for the rest of your life or the same haircut for the rest of your life? Now, you can get a haircut, but it's got to be the same haircut over and over and over again, or you've got to keep the same phone you have now for the rest of your life. What would you rather do? You got to have one forever.
This is a bad question for me because I don't care either way. And I've had the same haircut for a decade. So I don't care. I've been married for almost 28 years. I'm not worried about my hair looking a certain way that society dictates. As far as the phone goes, I had an iPhone 6 for a long time, and it just crashed, and I just now got an 11. So, I mean, I had it for like 4 or 5 years. Well, the battery runs. They have it set so the battery slowly fails after a certain amount of time.
Mine is failing right now. But can you get a new one? Is there anywhere you can get a new one?
I need a new battery? No. They do that so you have to get the latest iPhone or whatever phone that you have.
There's somebody that I can get a new battery from. right?
You crack that thing open, and you avoid a lot of things and stuff like that. But I mean, that's up to you.
Oh no! Oh, that's awful. By the way, I would go with the same haircut. You can't, dude. Once your phone crashes,
you've had the same haircut for a long time, just like me. So.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. What do you got, Lonzo?
Hey, if you love it, you love it. All right, Hormel will be giving people the chance to sign up for a bacon-scented mask. They're calling the mask Black Label Breathable Bacon and say that it smells of the latest in pork-scented technology. The design on the black mask is covered with a print of crispy bacon. Is this onsides or offsides?
Do I think a mask that smells like bacon from Hormel is onsides or offsides? Boy, this ties into my next either or, Lonzo. It is very onsides. And listen, don't hit me with you can't breathe in a mask if you're inhaling bacon every day. You're breathing better than anybody if you're inhaling bacon all day.
I don't disagree with you as far as breathing bacon, but there's the other problem. If you're breathing bacon all the time, you're going to be hungry all the time. If you smell bacon, you're going to want bacon, which is what Hormel is doing. They know if you smell it, you're going to go buy it. And no, because you'd be hungry all day.
Lonzo, the other thing is I would gain 3 pounds just from wearing that mask.
Probably.
Just from smelling bacon.
Probably.
When I smell bacon, the weight just piles on me. All right, Lonzo, would you rather lose your sense of taste or your sense of smell?
Sense of smell.
Why?
Especially going on in the studio right now because I'm very gassy and be glad you're not here.
So you would – God – you would rather lose your sense of smell than taste.
Yes.
I would also rather lose my sense of smell or taste. Think about this for a minute. 95% of the time, you're not smelling anything. Are you smelling anything? Oh, Lonzo's smelling something right now. I'm not smelling anything right now. Okay? 95% of the time, you're not. If you remove taste, you are removing one of the greatest joys of life. Then the other thing on smell is when you do smell something a lot of times, it's not good. Like Lonzo's experiencing right now. Lonzo's about to pass out from himself. That's really kind of a medical miracle. So, yeah, two votes for rather losing sense of smell than sense of taste, especially when you have all this amazing Ingles Markets fruit right in front of you right here. All right, Lonzo, what do you got?
All right, there's a video, I don't know if you've seen this, of a Zamboni catching on fire in a hockey rink in upstate New York. It's blazing. It's not little. I mean, the whole back of this thing is an inferno, if you will. And if you were the Zamboni driver, what would you do? Would you park it and get away or try to drive it out of the building?
Lonzo, I am off of that thing before you can blink. What do you mean try to drive it out of the building?
All right, here's why I'm asking you this question. Because dude tried to drive it out of the building. To me, it's on ice. Let it go. Let the ice put it. If you leave it in the middle of the rink, the ice is going to put it out eventually unless it explodes. I don't know if a Zamboni can explode. It possibly can. But, yeah, I'm off that thing and I'm out.
Lonzo, my car caught on fire on a busy street in Houston. And I was out. There was no, hey, let me drive this out of this mess.
Yeah, my car caught on fire on the side of the freeway, and I was out and gone.
Out.
Tried
and
to go
gone.
Back for
out
something that I left, and the tires blew up. And it's like, yeah.
By the way, Texter says the mask would get hold fast. Trust me. Would you guys? Hormel is coming out with a bacon scented mask. Is that thumbs up or thumbs down from you? Bacon scented mask. Thumbs up or thumbs down? Thumbs, we don't know. We don't know. They're thinking about it. And a texter says, would you rather, oh, God, sit in a fart? Would I rather sit in a fart-laden studio with Lonzo or watch one Dr. Pimple Popper video?
Well, I can tell you the answer there. You come back to the studio. You don't want to watch Pimple Popper, man. That's gross.
No, I would watch the video over.
You would. In
a fart-laden room.
Well,
yeah, I would.
You and I have not. We haven't been gassy in the presence of each other. So when you finally do return to the studio,
you think there's been at least five times where I'm like, man, I hope that one doesn't come back to get me.
Well, it never wafted across the board. So I will make sure that we experience that when you come back.
Fantastic. Something to never look forward to. This is Offsides. Boy, I will tell you what, it has been a blast to be out here at Ingalls Highway 24. One, I want to give a big thank you to all the people here at the Ingalls Market staff. They come out here every single week. We travel together, and they have the most amazing spread of food. What they do is they give us a kind of a sampler platter of what your tailgate could look like if you use Ingalls, if you utilize Ingalls as your tailgating headquarters. You can do no better, folks. I'm looking at an unbelievable veggie tray, sub tray. They've got those pinwheel sandwiches here. They've got the barbecue wings and the buffalo wings. They've got pizza out here. They've got chips and guac. They've got chocolate chip cookies. Man, oh, man, oh, man. I was telling Ruby that I'm a little bit bigger each week that I come back here, all right? I have to sit a little bit further away from the table each and every week. Astros over the Rays 3-2 in the top of the fifth. Coming up tonight, Atlanta versus Los Angeles right here on ESPN Upstate. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow for a Friday episode of Offsides with Mark Ryan, which can only be heard right here on ESPN Upstate.